This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. You are an exceptional American. Okay, you're outed now. You're out. You're an exceptional American. Like it or not, you're an exceptional American. Isn't that awesome? So, put that in your vape and smoke it. Now, no more of this put it in your pipe and smoke it business. Put that in your vape and smoke it. Anyway, we're having just a wonderful time here at Agenda 21 Radio. A lot of things going on, as you very well could imagine. And we are, covering everything wall to wall, training wall to training wall, port to port, seam to seam, sandbag to sandbag, bridge to bridge. Anyway, we're just having a really good time here at Agenda 21 Radio. Red State Talk Radio is our digital provider. And, of course, we're heard daily, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern and 6 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday, live. It's alive. We play two additional times during the course of the day as well on the replays and also during the weekends. You can just tune in. 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. if you're on the East Coast. And you can hear us 7 days a week at the same time. Same bat channel, Red State Talk Radio. The digital talk monster of all digital talk radio. We emanate from Washington, D.C. Our studios are there. And, of course, we're broadcasting on the left coast right now with a panoramic, beautiful view of, well, the upper central valley of California. Sacramento Valley, they call this part. And we're looking at the spillway of Oroville Dam. It's live camera. It's alive. It's so live. It's like sweating. The spillway is so alive. It's working hard. It's sweating, just like human beings. It sweats. Now, there's not supposed to be any sweat glands on the spillway. But there's plenty of them. Boy, I see them right now. It's just oozing sweat. It's sweating. Wow. I wonder if it's going to sweat this one out. A little play on words. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to look at the live stuff because you can see all those heavy-duty trucks just rumbling right by on the dam. It's always really a good thing on an earthen dam to rumble those big, heavy trucks, right? Always a good thing. Right. Really good ideas, you know, especially when you have a full pool, they call it, when the reservoir is full of water. But, you know, it's good. Nothing could possibly go wrong, huh? No vibrations. Good vibrations. Oh, see, we're going to have to play that song. Good vibrations, right? Good vibrations. Harmonic vibrations, they're called, actually. And sine waves, we talked about that. The little sine wave activity going on. And how they measure everything every night. Very, very meticulously. They're doing lots of measurements. Seeing what is going on, I think it's really kind of, you know, it's kind of the dam is a living thing. I mean, if you're into dams, you know that dam is a living thing. It's a damnable thing. They talk about the deplorables. We got the damnables. Yeah, those damnable dams. I was telling people last night at our tea party meeting, when you talk about dams, there's dam language, and then there's dam language about dams. You're around people who are specialists in dams and building dams and doing this, that, dams and this, that, and the other thing about dams. Then guess what? You pick up the parlance of the dam language. Really? I'm not being damnable or damning them. I'm just talking about dam language. In other words, these damsters, they have their own way of communicating. It's damning, I know, but that's what they do. I mean, it's just one of those words you perseverate on it. And then you find yourself trying to describe these dam experts, and you're thinking, oh, no, I don't mean he's a dam. Well, he's an expert in dams. See, you have to rephrase it so you don't feel like you're offending. Because, you know, we are so PC about dams. There's absolutely we're PC about dams because the Department of Water Resources in California told us to be PC. I'm shocking. They told us what to say. So there you go. Yavul. We will do as you say. Because, you know, we're actually only the servants of the Department of Water Resources after all. Huh. That's pretty damnable. That's pretty damn nice of them to make us their servants. Don't you think, we civilians? And by the way, no thoughts for you. If you're thinking that water that you're seeing on the spillway is sweat, that's what we want you to think. It's working hard for you. It's working hard for you. It's supposed to sweat. The damn... This is what I like. It's what I like what they've done. I mean, it's almost silly. It's almost silly. But they want us to believe that this is normal. This is normal to see this much water on a spillway. And where the water is coming through the seams. Now, some people say, oh, it's not coming through the seams. It's draining up from the top. Really? Now, why is it draining from the top? Well, there's leaks. Okay. But from where? Oh, the gates leak. Oh, silly me. That's what it is. The gates are leaking. Not only do we have sweat, but we have urination because the gates are leaking. Incontinence. So you believe that. You go right ahead and you believe that. You better believe that. Okay. I believe it. Because you told me. I should have no doubts about what the government tells me. Right? You're the damn experts. You ought to know. We are the experts. We have control. We know how to speak the parlance of the dams. You know nothing. You know nothing. And you see what I tell you to see. It's sweating. That's all it's doing. It's working hard. It's working overtime. It's supposed to do that. You see, spillways are supposed to leak. Right. That's what they... Gets the Siri chicks showing up in my studio. Get her out of here. Gosh, what is this? She's talking to me. She wants to talk to you, I think, more than me. But stepping on my radio buzz. Siri. So here we listen, you damnables. You must know that we are right, and you must listen. Accept it. Don't doubt us. Yeah, right. In other words, don't use your ability to think and rationalize things, analyze things, synthesize things, have cohesive thoughts. Don't do that. And whatever you do, do not put on your tinfoil hat. Oh, no. No tinfoil hat for you, especially when it comes to dams, because we are those dam experts, and you're not, you slimeball citizen. Huh, who do you think you are, you citizen? Well, that's exactly what they're doing to us, isn't it? The state says they're in charge, we're not. And we'd have no right to criticize them. Oh, no, you criticize them on YouTube, they will take you down. They'll file a phony injunction. Isn't that amazing? That's okay. It's rather Hitlerian, you know. This is the stuff Adolf Hitler would do. Because he was a great socialist. See, the greatest socialist, one of them, was Adolf Hitler. Hello? I wonder why Trump doesn't like socialism. Why he's pressing so hard against socialism. I don't know. It must have been Adolfo. Something to do with that clown. And his affiliates. The Reichs. We'll be back.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow, from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own, or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Calusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
All aboard!
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. I won't scream as much as that guy did, but, you know. Okay, I get from my very good friend, Ken, this memo. It says, NCS friends, that means New California State friends, attaches an official State of California document titled Dams Within Jurisdiction of the State of California 2018, alphabetically by county. All right? Here we go, the dams thing again. Listed at the bottom of page 11, under Butte County is our own Oroville Dam, number 10047 or 48, owned by the California Department of Water Resources. In addition to dam height, crest, length, reservoir capacity, and other stats is a box called condition assessment. Note what it says. Okay, he put a PDF file, so now you got to go look for it. He just can't quote it, you know, make it easy on all of us. So now we got to go down and look inside the document, all right? It's a massive document, actually. He says here, note what it says. There is no other dam in the damnable, I'm sorry, the state of damnable, no, the state of California, this damnable thing, right? With this rating, there's no other. See, let me get it right here for you, so I don't want to have that little, you know, that little dyslexic moment. There is no other dam in the state of California with this rating. Okay. Then he goes on to say, remember what the DWR announces about Oroville to the public. And then he says, is there a disconnect? Well, let's find out if there is a disconnect. So we're going to go down to page 11 in this reportage. That's a PDF document. It's spooling up right now. It's got the little turning thing here going on. It's spooling up, and as it spools up, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to ponder. It's not spooling up like I want it to. Come on. I mean, I want it now. Yes, here we go. It's a book. It's a book. And it says, State of California, California Natural Resources Agency, Department of Water Resources, Division of Dam Safety. Dams within jurisdiction of the state of California. Dams listed alphabetically by county, September 2018. This is recent. This is up to date. So we're going to scamper on down to page 11, number 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. 11. And this is what it says about 11. Ah, Oroville. Aha. It's kind of interesting. These are the categories, but, okay, in the boxes, it says, in the boxes for clarifications, oh, man, it's the only one, according to our source here, Ken, with this rating in all of the dams in the state. Condition and assessment. Aha. Uh-huh. And it says reservoir restrictions also in the box below it. So it says condition and assessment is unsatisfactory. Unsatisfactory. I'll say again, this document presented by the Department of Water Resources, in their own words, says it's unsatisfactory. Only one in the state with an unsatisfactory rating. Reservoir restrictions, the answer to that is yes. Reservoir restrictions, yes. Here's another one. Certified status, certified. I'm not sure about that, actually. I'm not sure about the certification. Downstream hazard, listen to this. Downstream hazard. Extremely high. So your downstream hazard is extremely high, meaning inundation zone, hello. Possibility that this whole thing could, in fact, drain? Yes, they know that. It nearly did it 2 years ago, and what's changed? Extremely high downstream hazard in the Feather River from Lake Oroville. Put that in your vape and smoke it. No Bogarting joints here, huh? Just thought I'd share that with you from our friends in high places, you know. This is extremely important, this document. We've known about this document for a long time. We've read it before in the conditions here. If you go back and look at 17 and 16, and go back, and here's the problem. They have histories. The history every year is it's been unsatisfactory, extremely high, and dangerous. They've known historically about this dam and what's been going on, and now it's more of a problem than ever before. I just thought I'd throw that one at you. You know, there's so much to talk about with this. Dams and the damnable things that go along with it. There's dams and then there's damnable dams, right? Yep, right there. It's kind of interesting. You put those guys in the box and get testimony out of them, what are they going to say? I hate it when this happens. It's another distraction from reality, right? Can't be any more distracting than this when they want to try and, well, I shouldn't say that, but we'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see what happens. So there's your report. It'll be linked up on Agenda 21 Radio probably after the show, but I know people want to see it, so we'll stretch it out. We'll send it off. Now, I got to find, I had it up here a second ago. Do I have it now? Ah, here, I think, no. No, that's the good one. Oh, yeah. Oh, or Amash. This is the guy, I digress. Amash is the Republican who's turned against Trump and thinks that he needs to be impeached. I love it when the turncoat gets spotted now. you're it. They're going after him. Never happened in California because everybody's, you know, sitting back with their Brazilians on. As politicians with Brazilians. Man, what a visual that is, huh? Listen, this is the time of the show when there's something really wrong with me. I'm just having a good old time now, aren't I? Okay, so Lisa Cahill, she's the wife of Scott Cahill. And she has a new video out, and I'm going to play some of it because I think it's rather rambunctious, and I think it's rather it might seem a little bit dry to you. Don't be fooled. It plays into exactly what we're talking about right here, right now, about the dam. Extremely high downstream danger. Danger, danger, danger. So listen, this is not fake news. This is a report we just read to you by the state of California. So all of you, you know, people who like to fly planes and pass judgment on people, better check out your sources. Check out your sources at the Department of Water Resources and find out, oh, are they telling me the truth or am I part of their storytelling propagandist machine? You just have to check that one. Now, Lisa's going to give us some information. Is Oroville Dam too full too soon? Now, and this is very important. Listen up.
Hi, everyone. There's a lot of conjecture I've heard about whether Oroville Dam is filled up too much too soon. So I took a look at the data, and I took a look at DWR's statements, and I thought it'd be interesting to share that with you. Like I said, a lot of people have a bad feeling. It just seems like this is fuller than it should be. Social media has been rife with concern and rumors for other reasons as well. As you know, this week, DWR reached out to the Sheriff's Department and to Assemblyman Gallagher and others with reassurances that all is well, And then those folks subsequently issued statements to the public that all is well. Plus, we have a DWR press release that assures us things are fine as well, and aren't we lucky to have all this water? They plan to go to level 900, only 1 foot below the emergency spillway. That barrage of assurances that all is well concerned me a bit. That was just a bit too many assurances. From state representatives, from the sheriff, mainstream media had several stories, their own press releases, a certain YouTuber. So let's just take a closer look. Assemblyman Gallagher issued a statement that DWR's operation team are not concerned, mainly because most of the snowpack in the Feather River watershed has already run off this far into the year. So I just jumped on the site that's DWR's CDEC with the snow content, and what it shows is that 60% still remains of the April 1st average, and it's still 133% for normal for this time of year. This thick blue line is the current, with the other two being a couple years previous. So if most is 51%, most is not gone. 60% still remains. So that's a damn lie. Mr. Gallagher also said that he had learned that the current outflow ability of the Hyatt power plant is 13,000 CFS. Now, I thought that was kind of interesting because in looking at the outflow data for the last couple weeks from May 4th till the 18th, it has not been operating at nearly 13,000 CFS until the 17th yesterday. And then it did. Oh, day before yesterday. And then it did. He also said he had learned that inflows will reduce after the next 5 days, and since that came out, there's at least one more storm forecast for the middle of the week next week, I believe, and that significant investments have been made to improve forecasting. Now, this is a press release from DWR's site published on March 31st, saying that they expected to use the main spillway on April 2nd. At that time, the reservoir was 853 feet, and they expected main spillway releases between 10,000 and 20,000 CFS, with another 10,000 coming from Hyatt, making for a total of 30,000 CFS. But the next sentence is the interesting part for this point. DWR may increase releases to the Feather River again later this week between 40 and 60,000 CFS to prepare for forecasted inflows. So at this time, they were forecasting some increased inflows. Well, did that?
Now, let me explain this. This is April 2nd. This is April 2nd they're saying this. I mean, let's hear this again. So you get this. DWR May, this was a published, I'm sorry, published March 31st. So this was their plan, March 31st. DWR may increase releases to the Feather River again later this week to between 40 and 60,000 CFS to prepare for forecasted inflows. That was the plan.
Point. DWR may increase releases to the Feather River again later this week between 40 and 60,000 CFS to prepare for forecasted inflows. So at this time, they were forecasting some increased inflows. Well, did that happen? Not too much. After that period, again, that was the 31st, so now we're looking for about 2 weeks after that period, and there's only one day where the inflows jumped up to 33,000. Now, it seems to me if they can under-forecast inflows, if they think more is coming and it doesn't, then they could also have the situation where they think less is coming, but more shows up. Another thing Assemblyman Gallagher learned is the goal is to fill the lake to an elevation of 900 feet. And last year, the lake was full, was in 2011, other than the infamous 2017. So let's just take a look at those two statements. This is a DWR press release from May 16th, last week. And you'll notice in the yellow highlighted portion, they carefully word this statement. It's common for Lake Oroville to stay relatively full during the summer months after an above average water year like the one we're experiencing in 2018-19. In 2010-11, another very wet year, the reservoir was filled to near capacity or capacity for the entire month of July. Okay, let's pick through this. This is a graph of the water years, various water years that you can see listed here. The 2010-2011 one that they specifically mention is this bold black line. And you can see that, as they said, it was indeed at 900 feet or very close to it.
Okay, so one of the things she's doing here to kind of cut through this so you know, how many times has the lake actually been at 900 feet in its 50-some year history? Interesting, huh? Interesting question. And now after all this heavy construction, all these explosions, all these vibrations, all this harmonic business, and they're claiming they're going to, you know, talk about inflows in March of 40 to 60,000 CFS to control flooding, to do their job, basically. Which, by the way, they talk about the fact there's a 50, there should be about a 50-foot elevation gap for extra storage to prevent flooding. So we're using the 50-foot gap now for flooding reasons, right? And we're sitting at 900, almost 900 feet. See, this is a problem. The stories aren't, you're seeing the stories are not matching.
For the month of July and a portion of June, but you will notice it only got there about the first week in June. This area where we are now, mid-May or so, it was substantially lower, right in here, than now. But we do notice that water year 2011-2012, the bold pink line here, it peaked a little earlier. And actually around May 1st, it was at 900. We're going to look at 13 years of water history, and this is the only time this has occurred. So this is a selection of 4 years, and only one of these is applicable. In 1992-93, the level continued to rise until about June 1st, where it peaked. It was less than 900 feet.
You get the drift here? She's jumped to the 90s now. So we've had, what, one incident between now and the 2011, we're having another incident in the mid-90s of where it got to 900 feet. I want you to think about it. Put your tinfoil hats on, folks.
But it did peak close to full right about the 1st of June. And I just want to point out also that at that time, the dam was only 15 years old.
15-year-old dam.
And then this is current from just a couple days ago. Well, from yesterday, Saturday. So what's interesting about this is 2016, we've just passed it by. We've just, our current year line has intersected with the 2016 line and surpassed it by, this time, a little bit. And then you'll notice that the 17 water year when the incident occurred, or 16-17 water year when the incident occurred, and 2016 are both on the graph as well. And this is a little bit closer look of that line crossing. Also, just to make note of it, the 2016 water year was very wet, and you see that toward the end, as we went into 2017, it jumped up. Then we enter to the left of the screen, the magenta line, 2017. And about mid-January, we got a storm with huge inflows, which kicks the line straight up, as you see. They didn't start releasing water right away, at least not in sufficient quantities. Although at that time there was no anomaly in the spillway. It was in playing catch-up for that delay that they had to go to 150,000 CFS, and then there was the issue that we all know very well, of course. This is another water year, or selection of water years. One of the things that's interesting about this is it is from their relicensing. This is what they submitted to FERC as showing typical water management for wet year and dry year. So you will notice here this late May period that we're coming into now, the wettest year, which was in, for this graph, water year 1995-96, they are right at about 890 where we are now, right now. They do not approach 900, even in their example wet year, until getting, looks like third week of June or so, getting close to July 1st, right in that area. So that's a little bit different than what we're approaching right now. So just to put all this together on a chart, has the lake been at 900 before June 1st? Once. In 13 years, in early May of the 2011-2012 water year. That's not common. Once in 13 years is not common.
It's not common, ladies and gentlemen. It is not common to be at this altitude in water, this elevation. It is not common. Another damn lie. She goes on about the verbiage that they're using in this press release. Boil the frog slowly. We're putting the lid on, though.
But let's look again at their very careful wording. It's common for Lake Oroville to stay relatively full during the summer months. Well, that is true. That is their water use pattern. The only one that would make sense for the climatology of the state of California. They did not say it was common for the dam for the water level to be so high so early in the year. In 2010-2011, another very wet year, the reservoir was filled to near capacity or capacity for the entire month of July. True, but the month of July is very different climatologically in California than the month of May is. In May, there's still runoff from snowmelt, and there is still some rain falling. So the other question I had was, is it allowed? Are they busting some parameter, or is it permissible? This line that I've highlighted in yellow here shows the area that they have to maintain during the flood season for flood control. And then this line ramps up, they are allowed to keep more and more water up until the maximum, which does occur about May 1st. So, yes, it is allowed. It is permitted by the Corps of Engineers plan. But it rains in May. And this graphic shows the average precipitation, and then it also shows by a bar graph here the precip, and you can see readily that May and June have very different expected rainfall rates, and then as in July, it goes to nearly nothing. So when those 900s were being hit in late June or July, you can see here by the precip that's typical how that's a very reasonable occurrence. Is it a reasonable occurrence to be hitting that level in mid to late May? Is it wise in the current conditions? And what are the current conditions? I'll point out in this great photograph, the folks working here at the end of the spillway doing something, and the wet area up here in about the same place that the failure occurred before, it appears. So what we have is a 50-year-old poorly maintained dam with many known deficiencies And I just made one slide of this. I just grabbed a couple. I think that that's a presentation all by itself that I'll do at some point. But Bob B. said, we certainly respect him very much, very well-respected fellow, said there are very serious problems with the head gates. There is a lot of corrosion, and there are large cracks in two gate control tendons. Some of the gates don't even open and close all the way. They're like refrigerator doors that just stay ajar. And that is from July 2017. Then from the DSOD inspection in August 2016, and this is the last DSOD inspection before the incident, they showed the flood control structure. They show the crack up here. They say it has extended downward over a long period of time. It will likely stop at this location. If not, conditions should be evaluated. And then additionally, by where the photograph is in the report, it says diagonal track on the left pier for gate 8 appears to have extended to the opposite chamfer below the old telltale paint mark, as evidenced by the length of the recently applied red telltale paint, photograph 14.
Now, they were supposed to have said that these were fixed, but our understanding is that they weren't fixed. None of this was fixed. If it was fixed, the gates would not be leaking. And how, you know, so this whole story about, which is typical of the gates leaking? No, it's typical of damaged gates leaking, because not all the gates, I mean, the evidence is right there in front of your faces, guys. I mean, when you hear these Department of Water Resource people and everybody else say these kind of things, right, when they say, oh, it's just kind of normal, or the people who fly in their airplanes and say, oh, it's normal, this sea water coming from the gates. In metal-to-metal gates, it's normal. Well, what explains the other, what, six gates that don't leak? Lies, and then there's damn lies, then there's the damnable damn lies. Are we pushing back? No, we're telling the truth. Are they pushing back against the truth? They are. Those damnable liars is what they are. Now, this is stuff you can't hide from. But don't tell us how to tell the world about this, because we have a constitutional right to do it, as you're fast learning. Last time I checked, the citizens were in charge, not the minions. To think the mini dictators in the California Department of Water Resources, because you know how that's how it is, right? Dictatorship flows downhill. You know what they say? You know, feces slides downhill. Well, I guess it goes over the spillway too, right? So it starts at the top. You have a governor who's a dictator who loves to lie, and you have a full blown legislature. The monoparty system loves to lie. Why wouldn't the Department of Water Resources, well, just sort of pick up the whole thing and lie? And then what's bad is that they've got now other people involved in their lie. Yeah, we need cover. Mr. Assemblyman, can you help a brother out? Or Mr. Sheriff? The sheriff was a little bit more cagey, though, because Corey Haney is a smart guy. His comment was very clear. I got the message. He used the word imminent danger at this time. There's no imminent danger at this time. But you read his whole statement in context, he's looking. I can tell you, I know, because I've contacted them. They are watching. So those people that have come out in so much support for this, you may have just committed political suicide, and you don't even know it, because none of it's safe. And that is a fact. We know it's not safe up there. Anyway, I just wanted to play that little tidbit there from Lisa Cahill. What I do want to do, though, is I want to jump back on it. I want to get this story out, if we can do this. McGahn defies subpoena for testimony. That's the one that they wanted. The president's got to come and testify. He's not doing it. But this is the one that's really brewing right here. We're going to have more on this tomorrow because I'm going to call some resources in and stuff like that, and we maybe have some guests on this because this is really important. And it really involves New California, of course. So what's this New California hour? Migrant backlash brewing in Murrieta. Okay, you may remember this. This was a couple years ago. People were backlashing quite a bit. In fact, many of our New Californians down in the area know about this. Locals concerned after migrants arrive at Murrieta Border Control Facility. Shocking, shocking. This is not from 2 years ago. It's yesterday. Murrieta, KCBS LA. It says an unknown number of migrants were recently flown into Murrieta's Border Patrol facility. Flown. And some in the community were quickly, wow, they have a facility there. World Atlantic is the charter organization. And there's those big white buses. And people with gilijong, yellow vests on. Oh. They've gone gilijong. Let's check this out. Oh, they got you know it is a TV station. They actually do have a report here. If we can get the sound to work properly, I hate it when this happens. Make it work, Paul. Make it work, Paul. Okay. We're going to make it work.
Say they're concerned that people could be released here into the city, but the police department tells us tonight that's not going to happen. Murrieta recently received an unknown number of migrants at its Border Patrol processing center, and some in the community were quick to stand in front of the gates and say they're not welcome to stay here.
He can be called a racist and we'll just smile because we don't care.
Bob Cowell says he's all for legal immigration, but he says his source with Border Patrol told him 100 undocumented immigrants were flown from the Texas border to San Diego and then bused to Murrieta over the weekend.
You believe this stuff? You believe this is going on in our country? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Ridiculous, as they would say. And you know, it's almost like the damnables, isn't it? Same thing. So we have these illegal migrants that have come on board. It says, we can be called a racist and we'll just smile because we don't care, said Cowell. We're watching to see where and when they'll move. Says he said that a source told him that the migrants will eventually be dropped off at strip malls and bus stations throughout the valley. Great. There's no homeless situation going on here, right? Nothing to see here. Just move along. We're going to create more homelessness. Says according to the police, our chief, Sean Hatton, contacted the commander of the Border Patrol station in Murrieta and was assured from him that there was not going to be any immigrants released from the Murrieta Border Patrol station. Well, okay, we'll just get them on buses, and what we'll do is we'll just get them on buses, and we'll just do our thing, right? That's what they're doing. That's what they're going to do. Let's go back here and see if I can get this whole thing for everybody. Well, I guess we can't. We're running out of time. Wow. I hate it when this happens, don't you? Here we go.
Tonight, that's not going to happen. Murrieta recently received an unknown number of migrants at its Border Patrol processing center to stand in front of the gates and say they're not welcome to stay here.
He can be called a racist and we'll just smile because we don't care.
Bob Cowell says he's all for legal immigration, but he says his source with Border Patrol told him 100 undocumented immigrants were flown from the Texas border to San Diego and then bused to Murrieta over the weekend to be processed here.
Well, we're watching to see when and where they move.
He says that source told him they will eventually be dropped off at strip malls and bus stations throughout the valley, but the Murrieta Police Department says that's not true.
Our chief, Sean Hatton, contacted the commander of the Border Patrol station here in Murrieta and was assured from him that there was not going to be any immigrants released from the Murrieta Border Patrol station.
Captain Firm says the police department wanted to set the record straight right away.
Charlotte's goal is to become a surgeon.
Yeah, I love it when this happens. I love it when this happens. She's growing up in a... Yeah, well, we can't get rid of that one. So, okay, this is the big story. Murrieta, big part of New California, I might add. Yeah, Rancho Murrieta. So we're going to be in contact with those folks. no doubt about it. Let there be no doubt about it. We'll be in touch with them. But other stories that go along with this is you're going to be, let's see, a couple of years ago, there was a massive like revolt going on down there in Murrieta. And people were confronted. And, of course, they turned the buses around. As the buses arrived, they got rid of them. Dumping, ICE looked to hire a transport provider to move illegals. Uh-huh, here we go. ICE was behind this. 2 days before, this is ICE looked to hire a transport provider. Now, this is a, looks like a little short one here. I don't know if this is. DeSantis, Florida can't handle the influx of immigrants from the border. So, the goal, see, what's going to happen? For those of you who don't know, that you don't know yet anyway, let me kind of fill you in. California and Florida are going to be now the targets. It was it's all been Texas absorbing a lot of this. Of course, we got our issues here in California. We, you know, the inducement of you know, the governors and the legislatures, oh, we'll give them a driver's license. We'll give them all the money. And of course, all the money that they used from the Oroville Dam that they should have been using properly over the years gone to these things, right? Illegal foreign nationals coming across the border. Uh-huh. That's where the money went. And, of course, now we've got dam issues. We spent $1.1 billion. It's probably $2 or $3 billion now. $1.2 or $3. And guess what? We still have a sick dam. And why? To pay for illegal foreign nationals coming across the border. See, the system itself, and this is the problem. I'm not blaming the illegal immigrants. I understand why they want to come here. It's us. It's our own government that's in the that's the problem. Our own government is in the way. There is an issue with that, ladies and gentlemen. I think you might understand that. Our own flipping government is the problem. And of course, where are the Democrats on this? Well, they're not Democrats. Where's the Communist Party on this? Huh? Oh. We're spreading the wealth around. It's worldwide. And we're all in the global world, right? We're globalists. That's what they want you to think. And that's where all this is coming from. I hate it when this happens, don't you? To me, it's just another way of doing business, isn't it? It's just another way of doing business. And trafficking human flesh and slavery is part of it, right? Look at all the things that are coming. Drugs. We're getting drugs. Hey, come on in. We're getting drugs with that open border. Yeah. So this has been an interesting hour, hasn't it? Start off talking about how they're lying to us from the California Department of Water Resources. Shocked to find that out. And they're doubling down now. They're going to keep the water up as high as it can possibly go, 900 feet. When it's only been there three times in the whole history of the dam. You see, here's another part of the problem. I throw this out there. The hillside where the emergency spillway sits, it's a hillside. It's part of the dam system. It really is the earthen part of the dam. The Bain Dam, it's really a lot of rocks, river-washed rocks that are not fractured. Now, that's a problem because it's ball bearings, basically. But you have this soil-impacted area where the spillway sits, and it's got all kinds of problems. And remember, 2 years ago, that hillside was hammered by water that was migrating through and in and around it, piping or, you know, just by phreatic movement. So it's an injured hillside, and we put a brand new spillway on it, expecting it to work. We run water over it in the harmonics, cause such bad vibrations in the soil off of the spillway that now we've damaged the spillway and the soil underneath it. That's why you see all the water seeping up through the seams of the spillway. Now, before they ran water, you didn't see the seepage like this. No, you didn't. Even when there was water back there, you didn't see the seepage like this. That's called evidence that you have leaks. Right. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans. There's no doubt about it. And now is the time to step up, and stand your ground.
Send it out, an SOS, to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston, with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.